You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Friday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. There's a lot to go over. First and foremost, you know, I'm hearing a lot of joking around about, ooh, they removed the glass behind the benches. Oh, boy, that's going to make a big deal for COVID. Well, if it moves the needle at all, isn't it worth doing? It doesn't cost any money. Get more airflow, right? I mean, listen, you've got a pretty embarrassing situation when you have 17 devils in COVID protocol. The numbers seem to grow in Buffalo and Colorado. Every night there seems to be another game that's postponed. There were three postponements last night because of COVID. The Sabres aren't going to play a game until February 9th at least. The Devils are not going to play another game until February 7th at least. I mean, these are concerning things. Then so whatever you can do to make it better, you try to do it. We talked about it with EJ earlier in the week. You know, there's a difference between basketball and hockey. Apparently, this virus does not move or transmit as easily in humidity. Well, in a basketball game with all the sweat going around, it might not be able to transfer as easily in the dry air of the ice. So these guys come off the ice and they're breathing, and if one of them's positive, if removing the glass behind the bench is going to help even an iota, you know, isn't it worth doing? But last night, let's start with the Rangers-Capitals game, because I thought this was a pretty interesting game from the Rangers' standpoint. All right, the Capitals come in with only one loss in regulation, and by the way, it had happened the last time that they played. And, you know, the Rangers are looking at this task of the upcoming week of having to play the Islanders, and that's always a tough hill to hoe. And then you've got back-to-back games at home against the Boston Bruins, who are just an awesome hockey team. So you got Washington coming in, who only had one regulation loss, and then the Rangers were playing under 500 hockey. But they were coming off a win over Pittsburgh, so you wanted to see if this team was going to make a move, and they did. I mean, that was a nice, well-rounded 60-minute hockey game in which they got quality goaltending. Panarin had another three-point night, and how big has Panarin been for this team early on in the season, especially since you're waiting for Zibanejad to awaken? He did have an assist last night, but it was on the empty net goal. They're playing well. And I don't know if you saw the highlight, but the Bedetto goal is just tremendous, because there's a kid hasn't scored a lot in the National Hockey League. What, he have like 2-3 goals in his NHL career, and he has this amazing Brian Leetch-esque goal, which I thought that was just incredible, and he was just so happy about it, and, you know, good for him. So something to keep an eye on here. Again, they got the Islanders coming up on Monday, and the Islanders are going to play a game against Pittsburgh tomorrow, but they haven't played at that often because they got stuck in the whole COVID thing. Not that they had it, but the teams that they were playing had it. And maybe this team could put together a nice three-game winning streak, climb above 500, and see what they can do against the Boston Bruins, who they always seem to be very competitive against, right? No matter what year it is, no matter how good the team is, it always seems to be like a one-goal game against Boston. So we'll see what happens from there. But I thought that was a good, solid effort. And I think it's important, too, that as much as we want to see Georgiev get a chance to play, and it's going to be important for him to play, especially when we get back to an 82-game schedule, and I understand what coach is trying to do by alternating them, but by getting Shesterkin a couple of wins under his belt back-to-back, and I would think he's going to play against the Islanders on Monday. I don't know that for a fact, but why wouldn't you try to ride the hot hand here? I think it's important that he be the number one goaltender of this team, right? I mean, I don't think what happened at the end of last year was a fluke. So get him going, and maybe the Rangers can get themselves going as well. Nobody expected this. The Canadians were just going nuts, but they lose to the Ottawa Senators. And I guess the surprising thing about this one, Gallagher scores to give Montreal the 1-0 lead, and then Chabot and Streusel score inside of what it ended up being 18 seconds, very late, less than 40 seconds to play in the first period, gave Ottawa a 2-1 lead, and Montreal just never really recovered. And then when Brown scored midway through to second to make it 3-1, it just looked like Montreal was on their way to a loss. Two of the last three losses, by the way, Remember, they got shut out a couple of games ago by Calgary. Anderson scores late with a minute and 29 seconds to go to make it close. But that's a nice effort by Ottawa's got – this Streutzel kid is going to be good. Bobby Ryan's had a nice start for them. But listen, you're 1-8-1 going up against the best team in the NHL in the Bell Center. That was a little bit surprising. Tremendous game between the Predators and the Panthers. Back and forth. Eventually won by Nashville in overtime. So Florida still with no losses in regulation. But this literally back and forth. Huberdeau had a couple of goals. So Florida's getting him going a little bit. Duchesne had a couple of goals. Huberdeau ended up getting the hat trick, by the way. Duchesne got the late goal with 57 seconds left to force overtime. Philippe Forsberg is very interesting. He's got 6 goals now. This is a real quality player. And he's kind of forgotten there in Nashville because they all we think about is their defense. But this Forsberg, when he's healthy, is a spectacular player. Nice win for the Blue Jackets. I got my ice pick wrong. I went for a Hail Mary, I'll admit, with my ice pick because I was getting the Stars at a goal and a half at plus 230. So it was a little bit too much for me, but Blue Jackets get a couple of goals early, and that pretty much put my pick to bed. But the story in this one, Patrick Laine scores his first goal as a Columbus Blue Jacket, and that's going to be big for Columbus. Now he's in the fold, a couple of games under his belt, he scored, and I think that's going to be a fun ride for him, and we see if that they can lock him down long-term at the end of the day. Maple Leafs put up a touchdown on the Canucks, 7-3. Again, if I've got to watch a game, all right, it's going to involve the Maple Leafs, right? Because they just are fun. Matthews gets a couple of goals. Jason Spezza had a hat trick, which was amazing. And it was a great tweet by Greg Wyszynski. He said that Ottawa beats Montreal. Jason Spezza with a hat trick and said hashtag tweets from 2007, right? Like that's like Ottawa has a big win on the road, like when they were the best team in the league in 2007, at least in the regular season, and Spezza scoring hat tricks. But Toronto's just a fun team to watch, and also lockdown as well because they always have the puck. Vancouver only 19 shots on goal. Blackhawks with a nice win as they beat the Hurricanes 6-4. That was a real quality game. It was a great game for Patrick Kane as he picks up his 6th goal of the season. Slew of assists as well. Assisted on the DeBrickett goal, which made it a 5-4 game. Broke the tie. Got an assist on DeBrickett's 2nd goal, which came in the empty netter. So Kane ended up the whole day with a goal and 3 assists. So Chicago with a nice win. Good quality win for the Blues. And I want to give a tip of the cap to Anthony Pusick, who is the producer, because we were going over ice picks. He said he loved the over in that game at, I think it was at 5.5, and they end up putting up a 7 spot. So the Coyotes with a big win in St. Louis against the Blues. The story in this one, the Blues throw 42 shots on goal, but they're able to get the win as Rantanen makes 40 saves to get the Coyotes a win. Keep an eye on the Winnipeg Jets, okay? It's been a little bit up and down early, but they go out and get Dubois. They settle that whole thing with Line A. They're getting quality goaltending from Hullabuck. He's made some big saves. And this team can flat out score. They beat the Flames 4-1. And here's an example of why this is such a fun team. Okay, so they get rid of Line A. All right, it's a winger. But they're loaded at center, right? But they've got guys that can just flat out score. You look at their lineup, and there's just up and down the lineup of guys that can find the back of the net. Wheeler is a great scorer. Scheifele is a great scorer. But you throw Kyle Connor. Nobody talks about Kyle Connor. The guy just continues to light. He's got 7 goals on the season. He has just been tremendous for them. Watch out for Winnipeg. I know everybody's talking about Toronto. Everybody's talking about Montreal, and rightly so. Winnipeg is a very, very dangerous team, for sure. So we'll see whether they can actually – I think they're going to come out of that division. And I think they could be dangerous. Only a couple of years removed from going to a conference final, by the way. All right, so tonight we've got 5 games. Bruins and the Flyers again. They play the Classic back on Wednesday. Boston scores late, wins in overtime. That's a great game. 14 wins between these two teams already this season. Lightning and the Red Wings, it's just a matter of Detroit trying to hold on. Tampa just, they're going to embarrass Detroit, I'm thinking, tonight. Even though I do like the team that loses to bounce back. This is men against boys tonight. Again, the Predators and the Panthers again. That's going to be fun. I would probably bet the over in that one. Golden Knights and the Kings. That's at 10 o'clock Eastern time. And then the Sharks and the Ducks from Anaheim as San Jose gets to play in California. Still on the road, but out of Arizona now for their home game. And now they get to play the Ducks. So that should be good. Want to hear from you? At Don LaGreca, hashtag game misconduct is the way to go here. So let's go to Cat Daddy, who says, prior to the COVID stoppage for the Devils, they looked kind of promising. No, what's your opinion on them if they have a healthy Blackwood? Well, my opinion certainly has changed. I still don't think they're a playoff team, but watching Lindy Ruff and what he's been able to do with this team, first of all, Blackwood has been tremendous. So they get him back. They've got the goaltending better than you thought they were going to have, okay? Jack Hughes has been tremendous in his sophomore season. They're getting what they thought they were getting out of the first overall pick, right? That's number two. Number three, you get Nico Hischier back. That's another first overall pick. So I think he is going to really add to this offense. And Palmieri being healthy, that's not a bad offensive team when you think about it. They've got a growing blue line. They are getting there. Fitzgerald has put together a team that I think has a very promising future. So if you continue to get the quality from Hughes, continue to get the quality goaltending, they'll be in every game every night. I don't think they're a playoff team in what I think is the best division in this COVID world, the East. But I think they're fun, and I think they're certainly a team to keep an eye on. Bill says, it's clear the Rangers are a talented team. The inconsistency is to be expected with such a young team. Do you think when they're on their game that they can compete with any team in the league? Yes, they can compete with any team in the league. We've seen that. David Quinn teams compete. The question is night in and night out with 8 games with Boston, 8 games with Philadelphia, 7 more with Washington. Are they going to be able to win those games? That's the question. So competitive, yeah, they're going to be competitive. And I think they can play with these teams. They played with one of the best teams in the league last night against Washington. The question is, on a consistent basis, can they win enough to make the playoffs? The answer's probably no, but that can change as time goes on. Tim says, is Detroit the new Edmonton? High draft picks, but poor development. Their bottom 6 forwards are all over the age of 30. Bashel not even trying to get the kids in the mix. I think that fan base deserves better. What are your thoughts? Stay safe, Don. Well, the feel, and I did a couple of games at the end of last year. Not the end of last year, but I did a couple of games in Detroit. One at the beginning of the year and one around the Super Bowl, like a year ago. And talking to the people around the Red Wings, they are just kind of committed to the rebuild. So they are being very, very patient with their young players. Remember, they got guys that they got to give minutes to, right? Like Larkin, Mantha. Those are guys that got to get minutes. But, you know, they're right now in a rebuild, and they're trying to get the young guys some action. But you're right. It's trying to get them the ice time. I don't know if Bashel's the guy. They seem to think so. We'll see. But, yeah, there's that kind of feeling. You get all these young picks. Now, they don't have the high-end young picks that Edmonton had all those years with the McDavids and the Draisaitls and the Nugent Hopkins and the Halls and, you know, to that level, the Yakupovs and all that. But, they kind of have that feeling where it's just very slow. Hey, this is the price you pay when you go 20 years in a row making the playoffs. But we'll see if they're moving in the right direction. But it's a very, very slow burn in Detroit, which I guess you can afford to do because of how hugely popular they are and being original 16, but it is a very, very slow burn there in Detroit. Shining Wizards Kevin says, was it ever determined whether or not the postseason will be in a bubble? If not, do you see them leaning that way? It's still very much up in the air. If I had to guess, I'd say no. Bubble, very, very expensive, number one. And number two, we are seeing the numbers gradually go down. We're not going to see the postseason until May. So we still have another couple of months for people to get vaccinated, the numbers to start to go down. So the feeling seems to be no, but they are open because things can change in a New York minute. You know that. Tommy B says, in a normal season, Thanksgiving is a line of demarcation to use for seeing who keeps their playoff spot and who drops in out of the standings. When would that point be this season? Trade deadline is April 12th, so maybe around March 1st. Yeah, I was thinking that too, because you figure when you get to American Thanksgiving, and we have to say American Thanksgiving because there's a Thanksgiving in Canada, but when we get to American Thanksgiving, that's the end of November. So you're talking about 6 weeks into the season, all right? So with a 56-game season as opposed to an 82-game season, I think you then shave off a couple of weeks, right? So now we're talking a month. So the season started, yeah, so you're probably looking somewhere, maybe even earlier, Tommy. You know, we might be looking at mid-February where that's going to be. So, yeah, I'm probably looking sometime, you know, within maybe within the next week or so. Plus, it changes so much, right? Because you're playing within your division and there's been so many three-point games that it's going to be even harder, I think, to move up the standings, which really put the Islanders and the Rangers, especially in the East, in a really tough spot. Dick says, Don, how do you feel about Dallas Netminder's situation? Is Ben Bishop too injury-prone to be relied upon once he returns? It's a great question. They didn't have him last year. It didn't seem to bother them as they went to Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. I would have to believe that relying on Ben Bishop now is probably not the best thing to do. All right, this was a lot of fun. And I promise next week, once we get a few more games under our belt here, and not as busy, I'll be able to really focus on giving you a top five every Friday. And as I don't know if I mentioned it to you earlier in the week, but I have reached out to Leah Hextall. She is going to be back in the mix here, probably not every week, but we're going to try to get her incorporated back into things as soon as possible. So we're looking forward to that. So this is a fun weekend coming up. A lot of hockey to dive into. I'll be back with you again on Monday, and we'll talk to EJ Raddick. We'll get an update on what the COVID situation is and everything. So thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend. This was the Friday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.